from them. Today, we have the privilege of having Dr. Ashish Gupta, one of the very early venture capitalists who went into India. It was a long time ago. I've known Ashish now for a long, long time. Ashish, it's great to have you. We haven't talked in a while. I was really looking forward to catching up with you today. So we're just going to do a public catching up, I guess.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me over. And yes, we will also catch up more in private. But for now, yes.
Okay, so just to give you a bit more context, Ashish and I met when Ashish had done already Junglee before that, which Amazon acquired. And then I met him when he was about to set off, I think, for India to start Helium Venture Partners. And then we connected a few times after that, after he launched Helium. And, you know, we were trying to understand the India opportunity where it came to entrepreneurship. And my blog happened to be a hangout place for a lot of Indian entrepreneurs. So, you know, we had a lot of very interesting discussions over the years. And today, as you know, the Indian entrepreneurship ecosystem is very, very alive and thriving. India has become one of the top entrepreneurial activity hubs in the world. So Ashish, you are on the ground there. I'm still based in Silicon Valley, and even though we do a lot of work with Indian entrepreneurs through the program, it's one of our largest geographies. You have a special insight. So maybe let's start with you're giving us an overview of what are the highlights of the Indian venture capital industry right now.
Sure. So I'll talk about the Indian entrepreneurial ecosystem first, because the venture capital industry is strictly dependent on and a subset of and subservient to at one level the entrepreneurial ecosystem. Without that, there is nothing for people like me to do. So what has happened, and just for context, Helion is about $600 million, and we are managing three funds in India, and there are now 11 of us. There are six investing partners and five operating partners, so we are fairly operationally heavy on the ground. And the vast majority of us, 10 out of 11 people, are ex-operating guys. So our perspective also comes from a very heavy bias towards operations, including four startups that my colleagues and I, in different configurations, started. So there is that bias also. So the experience in India, when I first started investing in 1999 to now, it's been about 16-odd years, the rate of change in India has seriously accelerated over the last 4 years. It was getting better in fits and starts for a while. Starting 2006, it started getting better much more steadily. But starting 2011, 2012, it has just completely taken off. And when I say it, I mean both the quality of entrepreneurs. So for example, in 99, 2000, you would meet people who would metaphorically talk about how they've got a new interesting networking box and they're going to take on Cisco. The appreciation for the value of distribution and sales was completely missing. Today you meet entrepreneurs who are as sophisticated as anywhere else in the world, and the young entrepreneurs in particular are both as well informed as entrepreneurs in the Valley, and hungrier because they have not seen even a fraction of the wealth that a lot of people have seen here. And the energy levels are actually in many cases much higher, because several of them are driven by seeing real problems around them. And as a result, they relate to those problems in a much more visceral manner than, if you will, third order derivatives from an applications perspective. So we are still solving basic problems from a US comparison perspective. For example, selling clothes, enabling taxis, taking some bit of education online. So we are still in, if you will, the version one problems of how to move basic stuff online. And that is easier for everybody to relate with than something which is a lot more esoteric. And so you see that energy level at levels that are just absolutely incredible. So the few noticeable things that have happened, Shramana, One is the average age of the entrepreneur has come down massively, maybe from the mid-30s to the early 20s, just within the last 3 years. It makes people like me feel even more older than I already am or feel. And so that is one. And two, the level of sophistication of these entrepreneurs has increased significantly. Third, they are moving into areas that we had not thought would move into. So they're going after global plays in very large numbers, which 3 years ago would have been unthinkable. They hunt for investors across the board. So I've actually moved to the Valley because we have enough presence in India, and we find that several of the entrepreneurs are looking for a US connect in both consumer and enterprise players. That's another part that has changed. And then on the venture ecosystem, one of the other things that has changed very recently is the arrival of very large amounts of money, because India feels and is the last bastion of a massive market on the planet. And as a result, a lot of people want to not be too late to the party. And that is a more recent phenomenon in the venture ecosystem, and largely prompted by the arrival of a smartphone. So among the many things that Steve Jobs can be credited with, I think he can be credited with unlocking the Indian internet market also, because smartphones have truly brought India into a place where internet adoption is just on fire right now. So those are some of the things that come to mind.
So, you know, springing off your comment about huge amounts of money coming into India, you know, it's all relative, right? Even when you started in about 2006, it was started Helion in about 2006, right? It was still, I mean, even then it was kind of like a too much money and too few deals situation, right? Fundable deals, because at that time, actually, the product entrepreneurship ecosystem was still very nascent, and there weren't really a lot of fundable deals. That is not the case anymore. There are a lot more fundable deals, and as you said, the entrepreneurs are more sophisticated, and there are more global plays starting to happen. But commensurately, there's a huge amount of money again going into India, so the situation of too much money chasing too few deals still remains, isn't it? And it's true about Silicon Valley too.
Yeah. About $3 billion got deployed in India in venture over literally 7-8 years, just to put the number in perspective, which actually is a fairly small amount of money given the opportunity set. So let's go back to 2006 for a moment, and then I'll address what is happening right now. In 2006 was, in effect, the third coming of the venture industry in India. The first one being 1995-96, which didn't last very long. 2000 lasted slightly longer, but the echo of the bust from the Valley kind of took the wind out of the boom relatively quickly. So that lasted maybe a year. And 2006 was the third coming, which has proven to be, at least in my view, the real creation of the venture business. Absolutely. And the first two were precursors or failed attempts, so and so forth. And at that point in time, a lot of the money that was coming in was because several of us had believed in and sold the story of China in India. And that truly was a little out of whack, because India and China are still nowhere close to each other from a size perspective. And that time we definitely were not, when you factor in technology adoption. But it was The Economist, Wall Street Journal, everybody wrote articles about it. So we all were drinking our own Kool-Aid. And a whole bunch of money showed up there, including a lot of U.S. investors who were the tourist investors, if you will. So one of the things that has happened is all the tourists have gone home. Now, pretty much all the money that is on the ground, and I'm referring to Series A, by the way, Series A, seed, that kind of stuff. That class of money is very much first-class firms on the ground in India and pretty much nobody else. The tourist investing is now happening at the later stages. And that is where you find what I like to call comfort investments. So if one is coming in from the outside and is going to deploy some bit of cash, one is looking for typically a growth stage company, because that is comfortable. There, indeed, valuations are out of whack, in my view. If you look at Series A, seed, there is actually not an excessive amount of money compared to the opportunity set. There are barely a dozen firms, Shravana, which is very ironic if you look at India from a Series A and C perspective, it is hard to count even 12. And there the supply of money actually, as most entrepreneurs will also tell you, is far lower than the opportunity set that is out there. And that you will find over the next 2-3 years that it will increase. As of now, it's not sufficient.
Seed ecosystem in general has been slow to evolve, and part of it is because the culture is not a heavily risk-prone culture. So, you know, it's good. That one is going to take time to do anything with, and as a result, as you know, my mantra has been to address that problem has been bootstrapping. So you
right.
basically, and Indians tend to be good at bootstrapping. They are scrappy, they are frugal, and just culturally and DNA-wise, they don't have this tendency. I'm not saying they as in a broad billion people, but mm-hmm. at least enough people have good values in terms of being frugal and being capital efficient.
Very much so.
That equation kind of works out. And I think it is going to be something that will stand India in good stead in the long term. All these entrepreneurs learning to bootstrap or being forced to bootstrap is going to give them a lot of advantage because they will be able to get to the Series A with much stronger credentials.
Yeah, and the angel ecosystem has also taken off in a fairly meaningful way over the last year and a half. So if you look at India, the rate at which it is changing, pretty much any comments I would have shared with you 2 years ago are subject for serious revision, because just in the last year and a half, about 15 new seed funds have come about, all with smaller amounts of capital. And the number of angel investors has exploded. To your point, however, the checks that are being written are such that it pretty much is tantamount to bootstrapping. And therefore, one finds a fair distance covered with fairly little expense. And you see the kind of salaries that are paid to engineers by the Amazons are reaching, Amazon.com, are reaching levels of $30,000 per annum. And in the very same office building, you will find, well, most startups can't afford the office building that Amazon is in, so I take that back. In the next office building, you will find an engineer of equal talent who's working at 10 times less because they're passionate about it. And that is one of the other very interesting things that is hard to wrap one's head around when you go to India, is that for the same quality talent, you might find a factor of 10 different in the salary that they are commanding, whereas in the U.S., you might find a factor of 2 different or 3. And that is a very interesting phenomenon which allows smaller companies to get much, much further ahead while coexisting with richly paid engineers also.
Also, I think it's just it is also an evolution. This was not the case some time back. Startups had a very hard time attracting talent. Now that has changed. It's become sexy and cool to work for startups even in India, and I think that's a very good development.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and sexy is the word. In fact, I recently wrote an article giving some assurance to the people who are not in startups that unlike the Valley, where somebody who's not working in startup is looked upon as a gargoyle, that one doesn't need to start worrying about that phenomenon, because you don't necessarily want people to become entrepreneurs just because it's sexy. It exacts too high a price from everybody concerned. But you're right, it is getting that way very quickly.
What is your current investment thesis? Let's kind of look at the future, and of course we've kind of got a little assessment of what's happening today and a bit of historical perspective. You know, a couple of points to kick off that discussion. My observation is that the e-commerce market is very frothy. It's, you know, compared to the size of the Indian e-commerce market, the amount of money that is flowing into that segment is completely off the whack. And then on the cloud side, actually, we've seen some very interesting companies, including global players. We have a bunch in our portfolio, including a breakout one that's Freshdesk. Other companies like Dhruva have also broken out very nicely. Inmobi is probably the first $1 billion unicorn out of India, tech unicorn out of India. So there is, you know, there is activity. InMobi is not cloud, it's ad tech. So that's, where are you seeing the opportunities today? Where do you see the next 5 years to be?
So there are, our investment hypothesis was in two buckets, Shamna. One was looking at India from a domestic market perspective, because the Indian enterprise does not spend too much money. So we were looking at, or we are looking at, domestic plays that are driven from a consumer perspective. Mm-hmm. And we are looking at global plays that are enterprise focused, because India has a fairly deep understanding of technology products, thanks to back development offices from all kinds of companies, whether they be Cisco, Yahoo, NetApp, McAfee. Everybody has product management being done out of there and engineering. So our thesis was global enterprise from India and domestic consumer from India. These have formed the bulk of our thesis. And that is continuing to be fairly attractive. Within that, if we dig deeper, mobile first, in my view, is something where you will start seeing global consumer come out of India also. Mm-hmm. And that is because mobile is the dominant way that the Indian consumer accesses the net. As a result, the Indian entrepreneur is thinking of things that are only mobile-centric and actually further ahead than several other parts of the world, including the U.S., mm-hmm. where the U.S. entrepreneur will still think of both the desktop and mobile when they build applications. The Indian entrepreneur thinks only mobile. So as a result, you have seen some very interesting companies come out of India. For example, you would have run into Zomato, which is a Yelp competitor in the rest of the world, not yet in the U.S., but they will very soon be in the U.S. And Yelp better watch out, because...
Highly overvalued company. Yeah, she has covered Zomato. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the valuation versus the value proposition, that disconnect, one is paying for a future-looking thing. But if you look at the product, you will find that actually in the markets where both Yelp and Zomato have gone in, Zomato is winning that game, whether it is London, whether it is Johannesburg, whether it is
maybe
a whole bunch.
This is a sector that I think the business model is fundamentally unattractive, both for Yelp and Zomato. That's a category that I personally do not like.
So we'll see how it plays out. Company is close to profitability. So, and part of it is because a lot of the inside sales gets driven out of India, which is also what you're seeing play out in the enterprise sales piece. So jury is still out on some of the pieces that you mentioned. Is the valuation out of whack? A bunch of people would argue yes. I happen to be one of the crowd that does believe valuation is out of whack. Is the value proposition out of whack? That,
I
believe...
Fine, I think. The value proposition is fine, but not everything that is a good value proposition that has a good business model. That's the...
And there probably you and I will choose to disagree on this one. And, of course, time will tell. If we agreed on everything, it would not be as interesting a conversation. So this is another one to get deeper in when we meet. So if we look at those kinds of plays which are mobile first, we have a company called MoEngage in our portfolio, which is going against Urban Airship, Kahuna, and wherever it competes, it actually wins. Now, it doesn't compete in as many places because the company has got to figure out its sales, which is one of the interesting challenges for companies coming out of India. When you come out of India, go after a U.S. market, you relocate to a new country, how do you sell in those places where you need direct touch? How do you sell where you need inside sales is much better understood. When you need feet on street, the jury is completely out whether Indian companies will actually figure out feet on street sales in India. In my view, is absolute work in progress. That includes several other companies that we take very seriously. Dhruva, for example. I think whether they will get the feet on street model to actually succeed here is work in progress. And, of course, my best wishes are with all the entrepreneurs, but I would be presumptuous to say that battle is won. It is a completely different skill set that people have to develop.
that selling for Indian companies, especially companies coming out of India, who sell in using inside sales either into the large enterprises or to SMB. In particular, SMB has been a very, very solid opportunity for Indian cloud companies to penetrate global markets with. That the SMB market has a lot of headroom. You know, in terms of the next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, that is a market that there's going to be a lot of technology that will be going into that market. And that's where I think it completely aligns with India's strengths. And building global cloud plays in that space is a very interesting opportunity.
Yeah, especially in those products which are fast follower products. So we are still not world-class in product management or user interface. But if there is a fast follower opportunity where one can literally learn from the leader as to what product to put in, that becomes a very, very interesting example of what you're calling out, Shramna. SMB focused.
Multiple times, right? The whole Zoho story. Zoho is a CRM product. And I, you know, even though I'm very good friends with Sridhar, and he's one of the most original thinkers I've met in the business. But the truth is, Zoho would not have been possible had Salesforce.com not built that market.
Yep. And one would argue Freshdesk is similar. Zendesk charted the course, and Freshdesk says, well, I will chart the same course, just faster. And cheaper, very, very true, and cheaper. So especially a variation of the fast-follower notion of the space that you're calling out, I think is very, very attractive.
You know, by the way, everybody who's listening, one of the products that I think is ripe for this kind of disruption is Marketo. Marketo is an expensive product that needs to be brought down to the SMBs at an affordable price point. Same with HubSpot. HubSpot is an expensive product, even though they sell to small businesses, but if you could drop the price on HubSpot by, 10x, that would be a fantastic offering for the SMBs. Other thoughts on your investment thesis, Ashish? What else looks interesting right now?
So I will go into controversial territory right off the bat, Shamana, given the e-commerce point that you were making. Vertical e-commerce is another area that we are actually quite keenly interested in. So we've recently made an investment in a furniture company, which actually does not sell you movable furniture, but actually takes care of the fixed furnishings in a house, cabinets, kitchens, and so on and so forth, highly technology-powered. We are looking at brands. For example, one of our companies is a company called Yepme, which does branded clothing, which is not so much a retail play as much as it is a branded apparel play, only online. So think of building Gap, but only online.
Private label, I'm actually, quite contrary to what you think, I'm very bullish on niche e-commerce globally.
Got you.
I love e-commerce. I think it's a great business model, and niche e-commerce monetizes extremely well. It's very possible to build vertical brands in niche e-commerce. So, I mean, I have a book on this, Web 3.0 and e-commerce, the evolution of the internet. So, absolutely.
Oh, cool. And so this is one area which we are quite excited about. We have started looking, but more from a forward-looking perspective, and put this in the hypothesis category, at some global consumer mobile-first apps. Mm-hmm. So the intuition being, if you consider something like Snapchat has come about because enough people are experimenting with enough ideas, as opposed to because there is a fundamental technical breakthrough. India is not ready yet, in my view, for technical breakthrough products. While we have a few good technologists, we don't have the density needed to build many technology infrastructure products. However, there is enough of a density of both entrepreneurs and now consumers to throw many pieces of spaghetti on the wall vis-a-vis consumer experiments. And the consumer is very similar to your point. Facebook is Facebook of India. YouTube is YouTube of India. So the consumers are already in tune with how consumers here think of digital assets. So that is one area where we've started experimenting, but not made any investments yet, which is consumer plays, mobile first, that look digital.
Yeah, and you know, we have a company in that space that I'm, it's a very good entrepreneur. It's a complex, really complex play. It's the company is called Avaaz. It's in the origin of the company is in autism apps, you know, communication apps for autistic children. And, you know, part of it is there isn't, other than in mobile commerce, messaging and gaming on the mobile phone, there's not a whole lot else that's monetizing very well. So the question is, are we going to be able to come up with non-messaging, non-mobile commerce, and non-gaming apps that are going to monetize and create new user experiences? This is the this is the question mark that I'm, you know, kind of trying to find examples of where there would be interesting new new experiences, new types of business models, and new types of things. Yelp on mobile is very successful, but monetization is not that great. That's the
true
issue.
True.
Any other concluding thoughts? We're going to, I know you're staying a little bit at least for the mentoring, so we're going to look at some entrepreneurs together.
Yes. So I will stay for a little while. I was mentioning to Maureen. Concluding thoughts. I think I'll just give you an interesting anecdote. This company that I mentioned, which is in the furniture space, it's called LiveSpace. They have relocated a team from Italy, a team of designers. And there are now 10 Italians that are living in one of the enclaves in Bangalore. And this is just a very interesting example of something that I've started seeing more and more so, as to how many non-Indian entrepreneurs have begun to gravitate to India. So your earlier point about are the investors coming, frothiness seems to have extended not just from in the investor community, but also in the entrepreneur community. And it is very interesting to watch. And Bangalore is fast becoming, in my view, the disproportionately larger hub of technology-centric entrepreneurship in India. So for those of you who visit Bangalore, I think it is an ever-changing landscape. Go ahead, Shomana, you're saying.
I touched on one of my absolute hot buttons. I don't know if you read my Vision India 2020 book back in 2010 came out. It has a lot of these ideas of moving Italian design and French design. You know, if you want to build really, really world-class brands in fashion and luxury in particular, I happen to understand these categories quite well, you know.
Well, you have a call coming, okay.
those guys, the Italians and the French and the Belgians, do a very nice job of that. Mm-hmm. So Indians generally don't do that well in those categories. So,
no.
So it's a fantastic marriage of skill sets to be able to combine those two categories of talent and really come up with global brands. That, I mean, yeah, that brand opportunity is really, really very, very strong. So I'm delighted to hear that you're already seeing some of that happen.